if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings, welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. This is our 2023 Honda Classic and Indian Open tips podcast. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selection for this week's PGA and DP World Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Please subscribe to this podcast as you drive the popularity of the show. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gambling aware. You can visit begambleaware.org for more information. And, of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world-famous golf betting system website with in-depth betting previews, two previews this week for, of course, the Honda and the Indian. Strokes gained analysis for the Honda Classic. So that is basically strokes gained analysis going back to 2016. Ranks for the field that are gathering in Florida this week across all the different skill sets. A very, very powerful set of statistics there. We've got form statistics. And of course, we've got PGA Tour and DP World Tour predictor models. All of these features, like this podcast, are completely free of charge with no paywall. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf on Twitter. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available along with my weekly golf betting show. If you're listening to the podcast on the YouTube channel, please press the like button. Every single like on that channel really helps. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name where you are in the review. Keep them coming. That'd be absolutely fabulous. They're winging in from all corners of the globe right now, but please give us your five-star reviews. It really helps in terms of just making sure that people get to see the podcast across all of the platforms they listen upon. Now, this one's short but sweet. It's entitled Phoenix Open 5 Stars. Great tips so far, guys. It's halfway through round two as I type this. Clearly, I doubt this individual was quite as happy at the end of the tournament. Thanks for a really informative podcast. I've only just discovered it today, and that is from Duels, and Duels is in Vietnam. Thank you, Duels. I hope you're still listening to the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks, Duels. I guess he must have had a bit of Morikawa or Max Homer, I guess, from last week. But didn't quite go to.
No, this was Phoenix Open, so if he had Morikawa, he'd missed the cut already.
Scotty Scheffler ruined the party.
The clue was in the title, Paul. Phoenix Open.
Yeah. So it's early in the morning. It brain's not quite in gear yet.
The things we do for this podcast.
Yeah, indeed.
Let's talk about last week. Let's start with yours, Paul. What did we make of the Thailand Classic? It was a proper birdie fest.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, kind of where we expected it to be, 24 under. Thorbjørn Olsen. I mean, when he's playing like that, nobody's going to get close to him in that level of field. And he won by 4 in the end. 7 wins now on the DP World European Tour over the years. I had Antoine Rosner. He closed with a 66, so he got a full place. That did give me a skinny profit over the course of the week on that event, but he wasn't close enough really to even give Olsen a scare. He was just immaculate. And I've been on him. I was on him when it must have been the Dubai Desert Classic that I was on Olsen last, and he'd kind of shown almost enough to warrant support, you know, further down the line. But for me, the approach game just wasn't quite there, particularly when you're trying to make yourself enough chances to win at 20-25 under, whatever the number was eventually going to be last week. But no, he pulled it round. He was excellent from tee to green. He was excellent on the greens, and a deserved winner in the end. Plenty of people on him as well, judging by social media. So well done, guys, if you plucked out Thorbjørn Olsen last week.
I think Olsen was one of your traditional build-up jobs, wasn't it? He's just getting better and better every week, and eventually, bang.
Yeah.
Kuchar-like.
From the past. The way I've been approaching him more recently is I've preferred him on slightly more stringent tests, but you know, he's kind of blown that theory out of the water by going and shooting 24 under. So yeah, when he's on, he's on. He's one of these players that's very, very capable, and as I say, 7 wins stamps that assertion 100%.
Jumped to number 12 in Ryder Cup European points selection.
He's had a go in the past, hasn't he? And he didn't get much of a sniff when he played the last time, but you know, he's young enough, and in terms of his career, he's certainly pulled it around after his issues from a few years back. And I expect that's a big target for him. You know, why not have a cracking year from here and get himself onto Luke Donald's team?
Possible. That team stands as, we've had a few changes since the last time we run through this. McIlroy, Rahm, Victor Perez on the European points quad. Next in line there is Alex Noren. You go over to the world points, Victor Hovland. We've now got Seamus Power that's jumped into an automatic qualification spot.
Mm.
Very, very consistent Power, isn't he? He's literally top 25 week in, week out. And when you're doing that in some of these elevated events with these huge amounts of OWGR points that are available, very, very profitable. And Shane Lowry has now jumped into an automatic spot after his top 15 finish at the Genesis.
That was a good week for him coming off the back of a fairly heavy missed cut in Phoenix.
Mm.
Nice turnaround.
Yeah. You put Shane on a tough track that's releasing balls rolling 350 yards minimum on fairways like they were. That's his kind of game, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, where you can be 4 under and in the top 15, as opposed to 22 under and you're not even in the top 10 like most PGA Tour events. That's kind of Lowry country, which is interesting, of course, for this week and the Honda Classic. If we go across to the Americans, Scheffler at 1, Zalatoris at 2, Max Homa now up to 3. I mean, he's in now. And I can just tell, Barry, you're just absolutely salivating about your 66-1 Masters bet on Max Homa.
It looks great right now. I mean, that's just all you can really ask for, I suppose. We've got a good anti-post bet on, and it's a feeling I haven't had for a few years because the markets were pretty shitty. So
There was
what is he now? 25s, 28s now.
Yeah. There was talk that LA Country Club for the US Open is the same designer that designed Riviera.
Okay.
And that it's longer, it's more of a bomber's golf course, apparently. A bit more open. But yeah, if fundamentally, same designer. So there are similarities between Riv and LA Country Club. JT at 4. Colin Morikawa jumps to 5. Cameron Young now has sneaked up to number 6. Beneath those, Bradley, Cantlay, Xander, Tom Hoagie, Keith Mitchell and Chris Kirk. If you're picked on Ryder Cup qualification points alone. So yes, Finau is at 13, Burns 15, Teagala 16 and Jordan Spieth all the way down in 17th spot for Ryder Cup qualification. What did you make of the Genesis Invitational? I mean, from my perspective, we've been doing this since 2009, Paul. You know, when it comes to a trend, when it comes to a record, when it comes to a statistic, you and I know them because we do these eventually each and every year. I've never known a player on the West Coast swing dominate like John Rahm has, and that goes all the way back to 09, to actually bag 3 wins in 5 outings.
Yeah.
It just hasn't been done before.
Incredible start to the year. Absolutely incredible. He's playing golf at the top of his game. Even though, and Barry and I were talking about this during the course of the tournament in the week, or over the weekend, he got away with an awful lot of bad shots, bad drives last week. But yeah, still managed to get himself over the line. A lot of them were going left, Barry, weren't they? A
lot of lefts, yeah. But they were bad, like in cases some were bad enough or that he actually had a shot to get a window to get the ball up to the green. And like when you're on one of these heaters and you're playing that good, things just seem to fall for you. And you know, the luck is kind of rolling with you. The bounce off the grandstand to set up eagle when, you know, it would have been a very, very good birdie if he had had to drop by the grandstand. And so, look, when those things are going for you, you just take them and say thank you very much. And, you know, eventually, you know, it's going to turn around and probably hit you even harder than it helped you in the first place. So, but it's absolutely incredible to watch him play at the moment. Like, he has just that unbelievable level of zone or focus and execution. It's pretty special to watch. And I guess not looking to the end of it, but it's like, how long can he sustain this and keep doing what he's doing?
Yeah. Well, this is it. You know, can he maintain that for what? The best part of another six, 7 weeks until the Masters? Because if he can, going in that kind of form to Augusta, he's going to be very, very difficult to beat. But that's a long time between now and then for him to keep ticking over at that kind of level.
Interesting. Because if you think about Scheffler last year, Scheffler won the Phoenix Open and managed to keep that form all the way to Augusta, didn't he?
Yeah.
Now, you've got Rahm, who started this heater on the first week of January. So he's kind of already 6 to 7 weeks in terms of his heater earlier than Scheffler was.
Yep.
So it's a long time. I'll just run you through the Masters betting with Bet365. 13-2 now, John Rahm, favourite. Rory at 8-1. Scotty, the defending champion, at 10-1. We've got Cam Smith at 16-1. Then Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa at 18-1. And then Jordan Spieth, Will Zalatoris, Patrick Cantlay and Dustin Johnson at 20-1, 25-1 bar or more.
Starting to form, isn't it? Yeah, I don't think you can argue with the fact that Rahm's at the top there. He's playing the best golf of anyone in the world, and he's gone back to world number one. It's, you know, in this instance, the world rankings are portraying the right position and right scenarios as world golf actually, you know, should be right now. So yeah, good for him. Emotional from Max Homa not to convert another Californian win last week. You got to like the guy, haven't you? He's very, you know, tearful, very emotional afterwards. But he came close. He got himself into the lead, didn't he? After the 12th, wasn't it? Rahm made his bogey and then he banged it straight into the trees on the 13th, and that was kind of the beginning of the end from there. That the look in Rahm's eyes, you could just tell he was mega focused to go and get that job done. But yeah, and you got a full place on Colin Morikawa as well, Steve. So well done with that. He snuck in with a fantastic finish, didn't he?
Colin. He was in the top 10 for scoring across three of those four rounds. And just threw in a 73 on Saturday. And that's the thing with Colin at the moment. He said this in an interview. He said, I'm just trying to get four good rounds into a tournament because at the moment I'm failing to do that. There's always one dodgy round in there. There's one round that's costing him.
That's a better
People
problem.
People were talking that head-to-head with Rahm at Kapalua might have set him back. I don't think it's set him back at all. You know, Morikawa's going to win soon. It's just a matter of when and where. Playing some good golf, isn't he? Morikawa, yeah. I'm not sure I'd be touching 18-1, though, Morikawa to win the Masters. Yeah. When, for me, he just isn't powerful enough and long enough off the tee to do that.
Yeah, maybe. Go on, Barry, what were you saying?
I was just saying it's a better problem for him to solve, just clean up that one round, than finding a few low ones or finding low ones in general. So it's just clean up the dirt, kind of the same way Lowry was having to clean, you know, had bogeys and doubles on his cards going into the Open Championship. It's just making birdies is a harder thing than avoiding bogeys and doubles.
Yeah, we've always said that. The other thing that I found interesting about Colin Morikawa last week was it wasn't his approach play that was absolutely spot on. He was 31st for approach, 19th for off the tee, which is decent. He actually drove it at 314 off the tee. He was the 8th in the field for driving distance. So maybe I need to change my approach for Augusta. He was clearly giving it full beans off the tee last week. The thing that really impressed me with him last week was the fact it wasn't his approach play that was absolutely stunning. It was the around the green game, 5th for around the green. What happened on the Saturday is typical Colin Morikawa. He was missing putts from 4 feet, 5 feet and 6 feet. I think three of his four bogeys were 3 putts.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh no, that continues on Sunday. Clearly we're not going to get any each way back at all. But actually, and this is impressive for me, he righted the ship and started putting well on Sunday. So he's a good player, and Morikawa's elite. We've got no issues with Colin. So yeah, I think a win's coming. Could it come at Bay Hill next week? We'll have to do some digging and find out. But you're probably going to struggle to get anything on the high side of 18 to 1 on Colin Morikawa next week, just the way that he's playing. Now, let's move on. Now that we've got this situation with the PGA Tour, these elevated events, you are going to get this scenario quite regularly where we're jumping from a Phoenix Open and a Genesis Invitational, which was absolutely stunning in terms of its field. A mini major, which is a term I've got to stop using in my previews and on the podcast because I use it all the time, but it's true. We're now going to the Honda Classic. I believe it's the last year Honda are sponsoring this. They're getting out. I can remember when this event was absolutely chump full of European Ryder Cup stars. It's down near Jupiter, isn't it? It's on Palm Beach Gardens, so most of the elite golfers in the world live around these parts. But they can't fit it into their schedule anymore. So where we had Ricky Fowler winning it in the past, Justin Thomas, Adam Scott, the list goes on. This year we've got Sung Jae Im and Shane Lowry, and then we're down to Denny McCarthy and Chris Kirk in the betting market. That's the dearth of field that we've got this week. But as we were saying off podcast, where you've got a lack of elite players, it's ramping up the opportunity for the likes of a McCarthy to win his first PGA Tour event, or an Aaron Wise, or a Minwoo Lee who plays this week. Matt Kuchar. Can Matt Kuchar rekindle his winning spirit on the PGA Tour? But you've got all of these opportunities. Alex Noren, can he win his first PGA Tour event? Thomas Dietrich. You know, there's going to be a lot of players here that if you can get a win this week, all of a sudden you're playing in the Masters. So it's actually opening up opportunities to the rank and file players or the younger, talented sort that are trying to make their way on the PGA Tour. So it's a fascinating event for me to look at this week. In terms of the bookmakers for this week's PGA Tour Golf Action, we're highlighting Bet365 again, who is ever. Have their each way extra market available, which gives you the option to increase or decrease the number of places when you are betting pre-event on the Honda Classic to win outright market. I have used their 8 places each way at 50 odds market specifically. I always do. I know that Barry often uses the 12 places market. I think it pays a 1/9 the odds, doesn't it, Barry, on those, just to try and make sure you get some return on bigger prices.
That's kind of the approach I'm going for. Try get the wins and let the place bets, if they can grab a little bit more, scoop up a couple more places during the season just to keep things ticking over. It's about trying to get the big ones.
I'm not sure that's a bad tactic this week, looking at this field. I can't really back anyone with any kind of confidence. That's just the fact of the matter.
No.
Right now, as we record the pod, they are offering market best odds and 8 places each way on. Right, Shane Lowry at 14-1. We've got Denny McCarthy and Chris Kirk at 25-1. Chris Kirk right now is 20-1 at Sky Bet. Harris English is a 40-1 shot with Bet365. We've also got Benny Ahn. Now, Benny Ahn is 60-1 at Bet365. He's 40-1 at Paddy Power this week. Or our pal, the popular bomber. I think this guy might get some steam this week. Will Gordon, big bomber. I think bombers do well around this PGA National course. He's 70-1 with Bet365. 8 places each way by their each way extra facility. He is a 50-1 shot with Paddy Power and Sky Bet, who are also going 8 places each way. So 70-1 Bet365, 50-1 elsewhere. We recommend Bet365 if you are 18 plus and do not have a Bet365 sports account. You can find details of their current bet £10, get £50 in free bets, new customer promotion, plus a link through to that very offer with T's and C's in the podcast description. Don't forget to use the bonus code SPORT50 when registering. Right, we're playing this week the Champions Course, PGA National, Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. The designer originally was Tom and George Fazio, but actually it's well known as a Nicklaus golf course. He's had various renovations and redesigns here. 2002, 2014, the last one was as recently as 2018. In terms of course type, we have moved. I don't know if you've noticed, we've moved from California. We're now in Florida. So we're now on a Florida-type golf course. Now, for newbies, Florida golf courses tend to be very, very open. Not a lot of trees. Open, lots of water everywhere. Difficult bunkering. And tend to be, because of the flat nature of Florida, very, very windswept. So I'm classifying this as a Florida golf course, a technical golf course in terms of its scoring. Could see anything as short as 10 under, 11 under winning this week. It's also a short golf course. It only measures 7,125 yards as a par 70. This bit always makes me laugh. Holes with water hazards. Just the 15 this week. 15 of 18 have water hazards. As I always used to say, you can see why Tony Finau does not play this event. Celebration Bermuda Grass Fairways. The rough is TIF Sport Bermuda Grass, overseeded with perennial rye. Just to make matters even more interesting, they've upped the rough length this week from last year by half an inch to 2.5 inches. So we've got thicker rough year on year at PGA National. That does make me titter. Greens. 7,000 square feet on average. They're large. They feature TIF Eagle Bermuda grass. Many of them have water as a surround. Tournament stimp. Just to turn the knife even more, they've upped the stimp from 11.5 to 12 feet this year. And I can see that because this part of Florida has been particularly dry over the late January and through February. So I'm reckoning, boys, that we're going to have a golf course that's got plenty of chase on the fairways again. Thick 2.5 inch Bermuda and ryegrass rough. And greens that have got plenty of release in them from the start. Mm. Unless they get the Florida water, the Florida fire staff to come and absolutely water the greens before the start of play on Thursday. I'm not sure.
No,
that's I don't think really... they do that here. You do tend to get a proper testing golf course.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Fairway widths, 25 yards wide at 300 yard carry. So that effectively they're as narrow as Riviera last week. And typically on a lot of these holes, you've got water on one side of those fairways when you're standing on the tee. So yeah, it's a toughie. It's a tough, tough golf course. It's the only way you can really, you know, over the last 10 seasons, this has been the sixth most difficult par 70 on the PGA Tour. One thing I think they might have in their favour this week, though, is I don't see super strong wind in the forecast. It's funny, isn't it? We were saying there wasn't going to be any wind on a lot of tournaments on the West Coast swing, and then all of a sudden they turned up and it was blowing 35 miles an hour. And then they've got to Florida where it's meant to be windy and it's meant to be ridiculously gusty and tough. And the forecast is suggesting nothing more than about 12 to 14 miles an hour across the whole week, which is calm for this.
Yeah, yeah. The course is built for a bit of wind as well, so... That's nothing excessive. We'll see. You know, sometimes these forecasts are a little bit conservative and it ends up being a little bit more blowy than it suggests.
Since the Nicklaus-inspired course changings, winning totals of 10 under Sepp Strucker, 12 under Matt Jones, 6 under Sung Jae-im, and Keith Mitchell at 9 under. That's where we're looking in terms of winning score this week, guys. Yeah, I don't see that changing, really. If the wind isn't blowing, it's still going to be firm. It's still going to be releasing on the greens. There's still water everywhere. So blow-ups are just there and happen. I mean, some of the blow-ups, I mean, it happens to the elite players as well. If you're slightly off it, you know, you can be in the ejection seat, undoubtedly, here and miss the cut. And I still, you know, we've got this thick rough. So I don't see this being anything other than what we expect it to be, a proper, proper grind. I like it. It's always one of the tournaments I quite like. Whether it's continuing in the future without Honda, we will find out in the future. Cut line here. 2 over, 1 over, 3 over, 2 over, 5 over.
Ooh.
Wow. Official world golf ranking of Honda Classic winners recently. Sat Straka was 176th in the world. Jones was 83rd. Sung Jae-im 34th. Keith Mitchell 161st. And what I'm basically aiming at here is the recent winning prices. Sepp Strucker last year was 125-1. And he came off incoming form of 2 top 20s in his last 3. Matt Jones, 80-1. Sung Jae-im, 35-1. Keith Mitchell, 300-1. That's crazy. Overall winning average going back to 2010 here is 130-1. So where I'm heading, I'm just looking at the top of the market. You know, we're seeing Sung Jae-im here at prices that John Rahm has been looking at, or that John Rahm's been going off since the start of 2023. Just to put that into context, I've done some digging. Sung Jae-im has 2 wins on the PGA Tour so far in his career. That's 2 wins from 129 WGC and PGA Tour combined starts. You can back him at 8-1.
Yeah. Not exactly value packed by the.
It's not singing, is it? Shane Lowry, 14-1 second favourite. He's got 1 win in the United States from 143 United States starts. Then we go to the likes of Denny McCarthy. Now, Denny will be popular this week. There's a certain tranche of people that back Denny McCarthy. They love Denny McCarthy. They want to be on board when Denny gets his first PGA Tour victory. Denny hasn't won on the PGA Tour, and this is 148th start this week. And you've got Aaron Wise near the top of the market as well. I've just picked out Wise. Wise has got 1 win in 129 WGC and PGA Tour starts. It's not... Taking these short prices isn't turning me on. Put it that way. But then you look at the trends recently. You look at the betting trends of where people... What prices people are winning at. And I'm just going through the prices from John Rahm winning the century. He won that at 7-1. Siwoo Kim 45-1 at the Sony. John Rahm 13-2 at the Amex. Max Homer, we were on board, 28-1 at the Farmers. Justin Rose 25-1 in an awful field at Pebble Beach. Scotty Scheffler 14-1. John Rahm 15-2. So the biggest price winner we've had in 2023 on the PGA Tour is 45-1 Siwoo Kim. So you're kind of caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. You don't want to back short prices this week overly, but you've got the trends telling you that kind of you should be. That's where I'm at. I actually went for 333-1 chances. That's where I've plumped for. I think there's something this week. When I look at my strokes gain numbers and I look at the history of people that have won this over the last 3 years on my strokes gained record, which is an internal document, don't publish it, just for reference, because I get people asking me about where they can access stats and whatever. I got a tweet last week or an email about where do my top 25 numbers get published. Well, they're published, strokes gained, over the last 8 tournaments. They are always published in each and every betting preview. So when I start talking about strokes gained over the last 8 tournaments, you will get a full listing on my preview, just for newbies and people that don't know. But I'm just looking here at people that have won the Honda going back to Sanjay in 2020. They all sat within the top 25 on my strokes gained putting last 8 weeks rank. Or if they didn't, they putted extremely well the outing before. I mean, Sepp Strucker ranked 14th for strokes gained putting at Riviera, came here, won 125-1. So players that are playing reasonably well and are putting well. Also, look at recent winners here. They have won with ridiculously long driving distance. Sepp Strucker last year, 310 off the tee. He was 13th for driving distance. The year before that, Matt Jones, 315 off the tee. Sungjae Im, fair enough, 292. That does, you know, mid-distance drivers can win here. Keith Mitchell the year before that, 306. He was 8th for driving distance. So I reckon if you're a bit of a bomber, or I've seen when I've looked into the data that you've had a very strong driving distance performance at this track in the past, I've kind of looked at that angle as well. Someone that's confident here off the tee, someone that's long off the tee, someone that's putting well at the moment and has got some half-decent results over on the West Coast swing, who I think will actually prefer the Bermuda grass greens and the Flora swing in terms of just where they perform better. That's where I'm at. I have gone for... This guy's drifted to 40-1 this morning, so there's absolutely no confidence in him whatsoever. But I think Harris English could go well this week. So I've gone 1.5 points each way, 33-1 with Bet365, 8 places each way via their each way extra facility on Harris English. Plays well here, needs to do well. He's outside the world's top 50 now. We've got very soon world match play, and we've got, of course, the Masters top 50 cut coming up within a few weeks' time. And you look at English last week, started with a 66 on Thursday, ended with a 65 on Sunday, finished 12th. Decent record on Bermuda grass. 2 of his 4 PGA Tour titles have come on Bermuda grass. And he was the joint first round leader here at 70-1 back in 2020. So, it was interesting. In his rookie year here, he went into Sunday. I think he was second or leading. And he carded a Sunday 77, plummeted to 18th spot. Since then, he's finished 12th in 2019. He's finished 17th here in 2020. If Harris English was at the peak of his powers, he wouldn't be playing the Honda Classic. But the way that his game has fallen away and the fact that he needs to be playing the Honda Classic, because he knows that if he wants to be getting back towards the top of the game in the top 50, he needs to be playing events like this and using this as a stepping stone. So I'm on English at 33-1. 40-1 is available with Bet365 this morning. I've gone with Taylor Pendrith, who is a fantastic driver of the golf ball. Pendrith is a bomber. But he's one of those bombers, a bit like Gary Woodland, who actually plays better on short and medium length golf courses. That kind of comes across in where Pendrith's played well since he's become a PGA Tour regular. In his rookie season, 5th at Port Royal, which is the Bermuda Championship. He was first heading into Sunday. I remember that because it was very, very windswept, that tournament. 16th at Torrey Pines, 13th at TPC Sawgrass, Florida, tight, short. He was second at the Detroit Golf Club. That's a medium-length golf club, a golf course. He was first heading into Sunday. So he's already had two leads heading into a Sunday on the PGA Tour. Then 13th at Sedgefield, like that form. 8th at Wilmington Country Club. That was a big event, the BMW Championship. He then qualified, of course, for the International President's Cup team as a rookie. He actually grossed $2.3 million last year as a rookie. So he's a talented sort, Pendrith. And then so far this season, 15th at the RSM Classic to end 2022. He was 6th going into Sunday. I noticed him the other week when he shot a very strong Sunday round at Pebble Beach and finished 7th. That's the kind of form I'm looking for. Under the radar, someone coming to a golf course that I think will suit him. He was 26th here last year on course debut, where only a 74 on Saturday, 4 over par Saturday, kept him out of the each-way paying places. So he gets on well with this course. He's got experience here. He's a bomber, putting well at the moment. Taylor Pendrith, I'm on. That was 33-1, 8 places each way with William Hill on Pendrith. And I've also gone for 33-1 shot. Doesn't really need a lot of talk through Adam Svensson. I mean, Svensson was in the top 10 last week at the Genesis Invitational. And he actually finished in the top 10 here last year. So current form, tick. Last year, course form, tick. He won the RSM Classic at the end of 2022 on Bermuda grass greens. It's interesting when you look at his history as well. He's won 4 times on his professional wins quite recently in his career. 3 of those on the Corn Ferry. He also won a Corn Ferry event on Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass greens at the Landings Club, which they play down in Georgia. So yeah, Svensson, very, very strong off the tee last week, I noticed, with Svensson. He actually drove the ball in the top 20 for driving distance, 308 off the tee. So he can get it out there when he needs to, when he's confident with the driver. So yeah, I've gone for Svensson also, 33-1 chance, bet 365, 8 places each way via that each way extra facility. So Svensson, Pendrith, English, all at 33-1 for me. I need a drink, so over to you guys. Who are you backing this week? I've got no idea. Barry, let's start with you.
Oh no. I could back a lot, or I could completely take the week off. I haven't placed any bets yet. Few that have kind of popped on some of the searches I've been doing. Ben Ann, don't know why, but Danny Willett. Harrington always kind of pops to mind in this event, but other than his win, he has been pretty awful around in terms of results here. I'm kind of struggling. I'm a bit all over the place.
If you look at Harrington, though, just as a... Harrington can bomb the ball. There's no way that Paddy Harrington's short off the tee.
No.
And you just look at how he plays his golf. Bombs the ball. Excellent short game and a very, very streaky putter. That's kind of where I'm at with the kind of player I'm looking at. I'm not looking for a Matt Kuchar who's banging it 285 and hitting 90% of fairways. I want someone with a bit of pop off the tee.
The extreme, yeah. I mean, to that, one other that's way out. He's second in strokes gained putting on the tour this season. It's Harry Hall.
Very good player.
Like, never played here. Reasonable, recent form, 27th, 41st, missed cut, 34th, couple of weeks off, and now he's here. Does he pop? I don't know. One last year on the Corn Ferry. I mean, it's a punt. Like, he's 140-1.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah, you do get those kind of winners here, though, don't you? It does happen.
I feel like I'm having to talk myself into bets this week rather than a bet becoming clear and just saying, hey, back me. You know, it's a slightly different vibe this week.
No, I'll get that.
Save me, Paul. Jump in, please.
Yeah, well, no, Barry, I'm not far behind where you are, because I've had a good look at this and I've only made one bet so far. And I look at the top of the market. It's probably the prices, because if you doubled the prices on some of those players and they were, you know, 50-1 rather than 25 or 66s rather than 33s, they'd probably be a far more attractive proposition. But the strength and depth of the field just isn't there to justify it. So everything needs to be taken into context. The one I've backed, you mentioned him actually, Danny Willett, 66-1, who does like these tougher tests. If you look at his performance last week, he led the field for scrambling at the Genesis, which I like. Strokes gained around the green, he was 12th as well. Finished 18th, he was 9th to the halfway point, but he was on a bit of the coverage and threatened to get into the mix at various points without really pushing on. But he got put, again, that field strength last week into context with this, and this is much, much easier. Not much in the way of course form here, finished down the field last year, but if you dig into that, he was 5th after the first day, shot a 67. He closed with a 68 as well, so two comparably good rounds that would get himself right into the mix if he could make four similar kind of style rounds this year and not throw two iffy rounds in on the Friday and the Saturday. But the thing with Danny Willett, and we've seen this from the times that I've backed him or not backed him on the European DP World Tour over the years, is that he is well capable of stepping up and winning a golf tournament. And plenty of players, you can't say the same about, you know, plenty of players will huff and puff and fall away. When Danny's on, Danny wins. And again, Danny will have this Ryder Cup motivation with him this year. You know, you've seen Justin Rose already get over the line and put himself right in the mix for a place. Danny Willett will be in the same kind of boat. He'll be thinking, well, this is a massive opportunity. I'm up against a field that is relatively poor at the top end, particularly in comparison to what he's been playing. And the conditions suit, the course suits, I think. Yeah, 66 is quite happy to take a chance on him. But yeah, as I say, that's the only punt that I've had so far.
He was noticeable last week.
Mm.
My only concern with Danny Willett, and podcast regulars will know this, Danny Willett wins BMW PGA Championships at Wentworth. Does he win the Honda Classic? He's more likely, in my mind, to actually win the Arnold Palmer Invitational, because he just takes out big titles. But I've got no doubt that he's as cold as ice when in contention and just wins. It's amazing. Yeah.
Except for when he gives up a tournament to Max Homa.
Where was that? Oh, was that the... yeah, that was the... Was that the opener of the season?
Yeah.
The Fortinet.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a, I guess that you could go back, and that's quite a pivotal moment for Max Homa's season. You know, he grinded and he grinded, he never gave up, and it materialized and crystallized into a win. So he probably got a lot of belief in his process and what he was doing, even though it was sort of a gift. But yeah, so like Willett's got like something to grind out on as well. I mean, that's still going to be keeping him awake at night, I'm sure.
Yes. Yeah, not easy to get over that kind of thing. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Barry, can I sell you on Bwon Hun An or Benny An?
Go for it.
61, I got with him. William Hill, 8 place each way, 50 odds. Ben An, his record here is eye-catching. And I know that Paul was on him. I can hear Paul chuckling away in the background. Paul was on him at Torrey Pines, if you remember, a few weeks ago when Max Homa won. Now, Paul that week had Max Homa and had Keegan Bradley that finished second. He also had Ben Aaron at some ridiculous price, and Ben Aaron was ninth heading into Sunday. Because Paul's rationale was bomber that's got a fantastic short game. Not necessarily a putter, but someone that can at least scramble and make pars around a long, tortuous golf course. And for 54 holes, he actually did that.
Yeah.
He then shot an 83 on Sunday and collapsed to 62nd place. That's almost academic. But you just got to read through this, haven't you? He then went to Pebble Beach, because don't forget, Ben Ann's status on the PGA Tour is poor. So he's literally gets given the crumbs in terms of starts. He went to the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, never played it in his life, finished 39th. The interesting fact there was, if you just looked at his two rounds at Pebble Beach, 36 holes, he was 13th best in the field. Now, I've never linked Ben Arn to Poana Greens. Doesn't work for me. Doesn't seem to work when I look at his stats. But when you look at him on Bermuda grass, and this is what we're trying to find here. We're trying to find a player that showed seeds of form out west on courses that don't overly suit. But when they come over to the Florida swing, bang, we're off. Don't forget, Ben Arn lives in Orlando. So he lives in Florida. This is where he uses practice facilities. So the agronomy is right up his street. On his PGA Tour, he's finished second at TPC Louisiana. He lost that in a playoff to Brian Stewart, who will be. Seventh at Harbortown. Third at Sedgefield. Both short Bermuda grass courses. Third at the Country Club of Jackson. That's where they played the Sanderson Farms. Sungjae Im's finished second there. Sepp Straka finished second there this season. So there's something there in terms of correlation. Eighth at PGA West. He's also had a fifth and a fourth here at PGA National, 2018 and 2020. So a fourth and a fifth on this golf course at this tournament. And then you can start, you're thinking, well, that's a Jack Nicklaus. You look at his form on Jack Nicklaus designs. He's finished second at the 2018 Memorial. He lost in a playoff to Bryson DeChambeau. I was on DeChambeau that week. He's also finished second at Glen Abbey, which is another Jack Nicklaus golf course. That was the 2018 RBC Canadian Open. And go back 12 months, go back Corn Ferry. Ben Arn won his first professional title for 6.5 years on the Corn Ferry last February at the Lee Comp Coast Classic in Florida. They play that at the Lakewood National Golf Club, a golf course which features Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass greens. So I'm on Ben Arn.
And probably a few leaks.
Hmm?
That and probably a few leaks going by the name of the course there.
For listeners, type in Lakewood National Golf Club, and it doesn't look dissimilar to PGA National. There's water everywhere. It's a Florida golf course. So yeah, I'm on Ben Arn. I couldn't resist. He was one of those. He kept popping on stats, kept looking, and I'm thinking, well, Ben Arn can't win. Ben Arn can't win. Ben Arn can't win. And then she's like, Steve, don't be stupid. Just put Ben Arn. So I put Ben Arn. The other one I put in is another Korean who you've also been putting up this season, Barry. S.H. Kim. Now, S.H. Kim, a rookie this year, quite impressive rookie, isn't he? And when you look at it, he's had four missed cuts from 13 PGA Tour appearances, which is pretty mad for a rookie. Fourth, a 12th, a 13th, and a 20th. So 9 paychecks from his first 13 PGA Tour starts. And guess where S.H. Kim finished second last year in Florida? Oh, of course, at the Lakewood National Golf Club. So he finished second to Ben Arn on a similar golf course, which features Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass greens. 33rd last week at the Genesis. I mean, 33rd in that field as a rookie on your first look at Riviera. That's pretty impressive for me. Second for driving accuracy, third for total driving, fourth for strokes gained putting. So let me get this straight. He was hitting tons of fairways. He was hitting it long, hitting it straight, and he was fourth for strokes gained putting. I'll take that. So I'm on SH Kim as well. Also interesting with Kim, another one of these Koreans, not as upfront as Tom Kim. S.H. Kim has won globally. Yes, United States listeners, there is golf outside of the United States, outside of the PGA Tour. He has won at 10 under par in 2019 on the Hiwa PGM Challenge. And then he's won the 2020 KPGA Championship in South Korea at 5 under par. And he won the 2021 Japan PGA Championship. So that's clearly a tournament of real standing in Japan. He won that at 13 under. So his three professional wins have come at 5 under, 10 under and 13 under. So that tells me that on a golf course where you need to grind and hang around, That's where he's actually done his winning so far in his career. So I'm on SH Kim, 70-1, bet 365, 8 place each way, 50 odds. So to recap for me, SH Kim, Ben Arne, and then Adam Svensson, Taylor Pendrith, and Harris English at 33-1, the three of them. Any more for the Honda Classic, or we will move on to the Indian Open?
No, not for me. It's a tough one to try and decipher. So, well done for picking five out. I really struggled to make some picks, but
I could have wasted more points.
Yeah, well,
it's one of those.
Sometimes it's telling you not to, isn't it?
It's not my usual staking plan. It's slightly less. I tell you one player at 100-1 that did catch my attention: Dylan Fratelli. Seems to have decent course record, and I noticed at Phoenix the other day, was it top 15 he finished at Phoenix? There's something percolating with Dylan Fratelli. Don't forget, that's a guy that's finished in the top five at both the Masters and the Open Championship.
Yeah. No, he's well capable when he's on his game.
I think he's also had a top 10 at Le Golf National, which I always look... That's a great carryover, isn't it? Tough.
Yeah.
Paris course, water everywhere.
Yeah, nice and open. Yeah, there's some similarities there for sure.
Right, let's move on to the Indy Open, Paul.
Talking
of tough golf courses.
It's slightly different the way this is set up in terms of its toughness. But last leg of our three-week jaunt out to the east this week. Short field of 120 here, just in the outskirts of Delhi, and a mix of... Well, some DP World Tour players, a number of local players who've been granted national spots in the field this week, mainly from the Indian Tour, the PGTI. Just a relatively short field, 120 players this week. So something for us to get our teeth into. Thorbjørn Olsen is the favourite, last week's winner. He is currently 11-1. Best price, and that is with Bet365. Again, they're very aggressive this week in terms of pricing, and of course with their each way extra proposition as well. Nikolai Hogard, 12-1. Bob McIntyre, 14-1. Yannick Paul next at 20-1. Joost Luiten played well last week, 20-1 also. Then you've got the likes of Oliver Becker, Eduardo Molinari, Yonghan Wang, all 22-1. 30-1 bar those players. Now, Boyle Sports are 8 places each way as their standard market this week. Again, they're attacking the DP World Tour. And as I've just mentioned, Bet365, they are running their each way extra proposition again this week. So 8 places each way, 5th of the odds available, all the way up to 12 places and 9th. If you prefer that market, and some cracking prices as well, again with 365, they are being hyper aggressive with golf at the moment, which is great to see. Now, in terms of the course, we're returning to the DLF Golf and Country Club again this week. It's a Gary Player design, opened back in 2015. On the card, the card that's supposed to be playing this week, 7,380-yard par 72. It can stretch quite a bit further than that, almost up to 7,700 yards. In the past, we've seen them play it closer to 7,000 yards. So there's a real mix. They've got 5 teeing options on every hole, and they can mix and match to suit whatever narrative they want, particularly. You know, if they want it long, if they want it short, they want it... tough, they want it easier, whatever. They can swap and change it. But in terms of the course card for the actual tournament, it's 7,380 yards is what we're supposed to be playing. Bermuda grass has been used throughout, from tee to green, on the greens themselves, parkland in style. It's an interesting course. It's almost like an oversized, crazy golf course, really. There's plenty of features. Really, really tough, narrow fairways, eye-catching bunkers. If you catch any of the pictures of the bunkers that do the rounds on the on social media, they really are eye-catching. Large greens, loads of elevation changes, loads of water in play. It's built around a couple of lakes. Water's in play considerably on 6 of the holes. Really just a real proper test of golf that gets players thinking. Almost like... almost like the 10th last week at Riviera, where you've got options where any score is possible on that hole from, you know, 2 or 3 all the way up to 60s, 7s and beyond. Most of the holes here have that kind of variance. Players will make birdies and eagles, and players will make doubles and quads for fun this week. The weather looks good, though. Low winds, temperatures into the low 30 centigrade. So 32, what's that, 90 Fahrenheit? It's that kind of number in terms of the conditions. No rain in the forecast, lots of sunshine. So it should be perfect conditions. It will just be the course that presents the challenge here this week. Now, we have got three events from 2017 to 2019 that were played here back on the European Tour, as it was at the time. We've also got a PGTI event that was held here last year, which a few of the players in this week's field did attend. So four events in total. They make up the course history stats on the site this week. So if you're flicking through the site, I've noted which ones were old European Tour events and, of course, the 2022 PGTI event as well. 2017 was SSP Chaurasia. He won at 10 under par at 80-1. Now, that was the first year we saw this course, and when the yardage was put up originally on the DP World Tour, or the European Tour website, it was quoted as a 7,650-yard or thereabouts par 72. So instantly, everyone just discounted Chaurasia because he's typically the shortest hitter on the tour. And they actually played around about 7,000 yards at a week, and he won. So that was a source of massive frustration for many a golf punter that week. But that shows you what they can do and how they can change the course. 10 under par was the winning score that week. Matt Wallace won in 2018, 11 under par. He was a 66-1 shot. Then the last time we came here on the European Tour was Stephen Gallagher, 9 under par. He was a 150-1 shot, having not won for a number of years prior to that victory. And then last year, Varun Parikh won at 11 under par on the PGTI, to give us a more recent bit of course form just to have a little dig into. Now, if you look into the stats, we've got the stats from the three events held at this level. Chaurasia, Wallace, they both scrambled really well. They both putted really well. Gallagher, he hit more greens and putted well on the week. So there's a couple of different ways you can get around this. Really, though, I think the key to this course is patience. You need to accept that bogeys and doubles will happen. Most players are going to make bogeys and doubles quite regularly during the course of the week. I mean, you look at Gallagher. Both him and Varun Parikh, who won the 2022 event, both of them made a quadruple bogey during the course of their tournament, and both of them still won. So you've got to be able to take that kind of thing on the chin. You've got to be able to overlook it, move on to the next hole, continue as if it doesn't happen. And you know, some players, they'll just get down in the dumps after making such a big mistake. But you can't do that here. You've just got to accept it, move on, carry on playing, because you never know what's going to happen. Everyone else is making mistakes around you, so the course or the field can come back to you quite readily. In terms of incoming form, Chaurasia, Wallace, both of those have recorded their best results of the season on their previous start. Now, nothing's groundbreaking, but Chaurasia was 35th the previous outing. Wallace was 19th from the previous outing. Both of those were their best efforts of the calendar year to date. Gallagher, well, if you managed to pick Stevie Gallagher out on current form back in 2019, then you must have had your crystal ball working particularly well that week, because he'd come into this from 4 straight missed cuts, shown absolutely nothing, and then won the golf tournament. Varun Parikh, who won the 2022, he'd missed a cut on his previous start. He did finish third 6 weeks before at the PGTI Players' Championship, though, so there was a little bit of form to show for him coming into this course back in 2022 on the PGTI. In terms of course form, again, we've only got limited stats. The only player of those four that had anything tangible was Stevie Gallagher, 29th on debut, 7th the week, or the year before rather, in terms of his course form coming into it. He's the only one with anything to show. So, you know, if you're looking at course form, if you're looking at current form, there's not a massive amount of clues from the events that have happened here in the past really to grab onto, I'm afraid. I think you need to focus, from a punting perspective, focus on the ability to grind out a score, shrug off those bogeys and doubles when they happen. You need to hit as many greens as possible, I think, and get up and down. You need to be scrambling and putting well when you don't. It's simple as that. Other than that, I'm not sure how else you can approach this. It's one of those events that is likely to be quite frustrating from a punting perspective, because you look at a player who you've backed and he will go out and make doubles. He will make bogeys quite regularly. He's just got to make sure that he's getting enough birdies to balance it to a certain degree. Stay the right side of par, hopefully, and take your chances on Sunday. Boiling it all down, I've backed six this week. A couple of them are relatively short towards the top of the market. And then I've chanced my arm with some longer prices, some of the local players that may just feature and sneak into the places this week. We'll see. I'm headlining with Yonghan Wang this week, 22-1. He's in decent nick, the South Korean. Third in Singapore, eighth last week in Thailand. And that was on a more free-scoring track. And I think this tougher test should suit Wang much better. Got three wins on tour over the years. If you look at the first two, he won the Trophée Hassan II back in 2016 at 5 under par. It's a proper technical score, that. 2016 again, actually it was the week after he won the Mauritius Open, 6 under par. So he won back-to-back events on two challenging setups back in 2016. He also won at Doha the following year. Again, not quite so tough there at the Qatar Masters, but Bermuda grass greens, comparable track in terms of length as well, around 7,400 yards. So a few similarities there to grab onto. 6 years now since that last win. I think he's ready for some more silverware, and certainly from what we've seen over the past couple of weeks, he looks to be playing the right kind of golf to contend. And as I say, I think this tougher setup this week should suit far better than it did last week, when he still managed to finish eighth on that birdie fest. So Wang's in. I've also backed Yannick Paul, a slightly shorter price now, 18-1 with eight places. You can get 20-1 if you're happy to take fewer each way places, but I've played it relatively safe this week with both him and Wang by taking the eight place options. Now, I passed up Yannick Paul back at the Mallorca Open in October, and that was due to his price. He was 25-1 that week, and as a maiden at the time, I looked at that and I thought, you know, despite the fact that he was playing some really good golf, I just couldn't stomach that. You look at the field this week, I think if there's a player or a couple of players that are likely to feature, it is Yannick Paul, it is Yonghan Wang, both of them around that 20-1 mark, give or take. I think both of them are well worth supporting at the prices on offer. I don't think this week's field is any better than that Mallorca Open win, to be honest. And if you look at his incoming form, well, he finished second to Thorbjørn Olsen last week. He's playing some cracking golf, or did last week anyway. His all-round game looked really, really good. Every statistic, every traditional statistic. Bear in mind, if you're looking at strokes gained from last week, they were caddy-captured data on the DP World Tour, so do give them a relatively wide berth. They may not be 100% accurate. But in terms of his traditional stats, he was very strong across the board last week. And I think there's a bit of evidence that he can play well on these tougher tests as well. Second in the Challenge Tour Grand Final back in 2021. That was a 7-under total. So again, comparable with what we might expect this week. He was second at the Sudal Open on the DP World Tour last year, 11-under for a second place finish. Eighth at Le Golf National, as Steve mentioned in the context of the Honda a minute ago. Again, that's another tricky test, tough course, and he's got a top 10 finish there as well. So I think in this relatively weak field, Yannick Paul can be a real feature again this week. So those two near the top, four longer prices though. First one I've backed, Manu Gandas, 100-1 at eight places each way is his current price. I got him a little bit longer than that yesterday. Actually opened at 225-1, 250-1 actually in places. So he's been massively backed, Manu Gandas. 100-1 with eight places. You can still get a little bit more if you're willing to go down to the five place option this week on Gandas right now anyway, but I suspect he's going to continue to be back because there's a lot to like with him. He was last year's PGTI Order of Merit winner on the Indian Tour. He won six times in total last year. That makes it, with a win at the back end of the previous year, it makes it seven wins in his last 33 starts. That is exceptional at any level to continue to win with that kind of regularity. He could have had a seventh win for last season too. He finished second here on this course back in October. All of that effort, all of those wins, the fact that he won the PGTI Order of Merit, that earned him a place on the DP World Tour for this season. And he's had three starts so far, missed the cut in Ras Al Khaimah, missed the cut in Singapore, 28th last week in Thailand, though. His best effort at this kind of level, closed with his best round of the week, a 68, giving him some confidence coming into this week. And to top it all, this is his home course. He's attached to the course here at DLF Golf and Country Club. He'll know it far, far better than most of his compatriots, let alone the players that are coming from the DP World Tour. So he should be absolutely licking his lips this week, Manu Gandas. That fact has not been lost on a number of punters this week, hence the reason why he's been backed off the boards. And quite rightly so, I think. Slightly longer, I've also backed Gaganjeet Bhullar at 150-1. It's a slightly more familiar name. I've backed him before. I may well have mentioned backed him on the podcast in the past as well. Can't quite remember. But for followers of the European Tour, the DP World Tour over the years, then his name will be more familiar. He's a winner on the tour as well. 2018 Fiji International was his win at DP World Tour level. 10 Asian Tour wins, 12 PGTI wins over the years. He's a very capable player, very capable winner to have amassed 22 victories over the course of his relatively short career so far. More recently, won the Indonesian Open in August. He won the Jeev Milka Singh Invitational in October, so two relatively recent wins. 22nd last week on the Asian Tour in Qatar. Really tough test last week and the week before in Oman on the Asian Tour as well. So if you're looking for some recent grinding form from any players, take a look at the two Asian Tour events over the past fortnight because they were really tricky tests. Last week, 22nd, he was first for driving accuracy last week, second for greens in regulation on that Qatar setup at Doha. So that's he should be far more attuned to the kind of test this week than most of the other players coming into it, particularly the ones who've come straight off the back of a birdie fest. This could be a shock to the system for a few of them. Three cuts from four attempts here at the DLF. Could go well this week, I think. I think there's no reason to dispute his chances, particularly when he's playing so well from off of the tee and from tee to green too. So Bhullar's in, two longer prices, quite much longer prices, in fact. Om Prakash Chuhan, I've backed at 500-1. Now, Chuhan is described on the PGTI site, and I'll quote this, he's described as the second most successful golfer to emerge from the state of Madhya Pradesh after the legendary Mukesh Kumar. There you go. Very high praise, and they're obviously trying desperately to find something positive to say about him, but there should be some positive stuff to say about him. He's 36 years old, he's playing the best golf of his life at the moment, a couple of wins on tour for him, both of them come in the past 2 years, and he's had six top 10 finishes in his last nine starts. Seventh on his last start, that was his 2023 appearance. Fourth here at the PGTI on this course, on that event that I mentioned. So he's got a little bit of course form as well, 500-1. I backed him, only got six places, a fifth of the odds with that at that price. You can get him quite a bit shorter with eight places if that's what you want. I've taken a chance, I've rolled the dice with Om Prakash Chuhan. And the final one I've backed is Varun Parikh. Now, he's the guy that I've mentioned. He's the guy that won this event or this on this course back in October. Now, when I looked at the odds when they opened up, he was the guy at the very, very, very bottom of the odds list yesterday. And I'm looking at that thinking, really? You know, he opened up in places at 2,500-1 yesterday. And he won on this course by six shots back in October. Now, I know it was a lower event. I know it was a lower level. I know the competition that he was playing against, wasn't what we'll see this week. But he still had to go and master this course. And master it he did. if you look at his price, I mean, you know, there's plenty of other punters again have picked up on this. There's still 1,000 to 1 available right now. If you want longer each way term, 750 to 1 is available. What, nearly 9 o'clock on a Tuesday morning with 7 places each way. 8 places each way options, the best you'll get at the moment is 500 to 1. But if you fancy just a couple of quid on a player that could really surprise, then Varun Parikh could be the guy. As I said, he won here by 6 shots. He made an early quadruple bogey on the Thursday and then shot 15 under for the remaining 60 holes to win the tournament by 6. Now, you look at the winning scores that have happened here over the 4 events, 9 under, 10 under, 11 under. This guy got to 11 under. He played the same course that they're going to play this week. He has proven that he can get to 11 under par. He's proven that he can get to a winning score. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it could be completely wrong. He could be the guy holding the bottom of the leaderboard up at the end of 2 rounds and missed the cut badly. But I thought the price on offer, well, what the hell? Give it a go. We'll see. We'll find out in the fullness of time, won't we? Anyway, here's my final one. Varun Parikh, Om Prakash Chuhan, Gaganjeet Bhullar, Manu Gandas. And then some more pronounceable names, Yannick Paul and Younghoon Wang, to complete my team of 6 this week. Go on, Barry, throw me a name.
How could I possibly beat that selection? Like, you've a 4-digit bet on. That's awesome. I mean, if I was in trouble at the Honda Classic, I'm in big trouble here. I feel like I may as well put a blindfold on and just throw darts at the screen. I might have a better chance. Put them all into a randomizer and just...
These are the fun weeks, Barry.
Yeah, I do. I like your bets, and I love the rationale behind them. You know, to dip down into the local tours or guys who've played before, or, you know... This is a severely weakened event in the grand scheme of the DP World Tour, and why not? And particularly the guys that have won recently on other tours or won here at this course before. Winning is winning. That's a habit. And when you get into that zone, you know, you're just going after the win. Yes, there's a couple of names there, but nothing's going to terrify you really. So yeah, no. I might follow in on a couple of years, but I'm kind of all over the place really.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. It's a tough one to try and decipher. Any names pop up to you, Steve?
We had this message the other day. It was via some messaging. This trio of punters will leave you unable to not follow their selections. Excuse me. I wish we had each way in the States. Barry, I feel, is the voice of reason at times, keeping his money in his pocket on certain events.
There's still time for me to lose.
I'm following Barry. I've got not a Scooby-Doo about the Indian Open. And when you have Stephen Gallagher winning it, when his form in was miscut, 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 43, miscut. Whatever it was.
He didn't really telegraph.
I'd be disingenuous to our listeners if I said anything different.
No, that's fair enough. That's fair enough.
You have been staring at this event for over 2 days, so I'll back you up on whatever you suggest.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. It'd be interesting to see if some of the local PGTI players can breakthrough, because often you come to these kind of events and you look at a field that's half DP World or your old European Tour and half local players, and the final leaderboard will still be dominated by the DP World Tour players because, you know, they are that level above. But this is a short field, 120 players. You're getting 8 places each way with some bookies. And that's a fair proportion of the field. I think we'll find one or two of the local players find their way into the each way places this week. And if you can pluck the right one out, then given the prices on offer, the reward will be really quite good. So let's just hope it's the right side of that this week.
If you held a gun to my head, I know he's been playing absolutely terribly, but in my mind, this guy comes to the party at tough, horrible events. Hasn't he done well at the US Open? Guido Migliozzi?
Yeah.
Don't know. I mean, when you got Guido at a bigger price than Marcel Siem, I'd probably take Guido.
40-1. Yeah, he's been erratic, hasn't he? He's probably the best way to describe him.
And then bang. Again,
yeah. When he's good, he's really good, and when he's bad, he's really bad. There's not much of a middle ground between the two, but
so who knows? Yeah.
It's an odd one, because if you look at that middle part of the market, you know, a Gavin Green at 33-1, 45-1 best price Gavin Green, he's not made a cut this year.
No.
But then you look at Stevie Gallagher, as you just said, you know, he's coming in off a string of missed cuts and then wins the golf tournament. It does set up for a week where it could be just a complete random winner.
I think you'll see is the leaderboard after round three could be quite interesting. I think you'll see quite a few of the local lads up there. It's who can hang on in round four.
Mm.
That's, you know, when the real pressure applies. Yeah, I think I'm going to wash my hands of this one. I might jump in on one or two of your big long ones, Paul, but it's just, I'm confused.
That makes two of us, Barry. That makes three of us.
It makes three of us. One of those weeks. Right, I think we're done, chaps, aren't we?
Indeed.
Best of luck with your bets.
Yeah, best of luck, guys.
Good luck, boys.
Don't forget our Bet365 2023 Majors competition. The structure and the rules of how to enter are available in the podcast description. Up to £250 of cash effectively been put up by Bet365, our sponsors. So if you haven't entered and you fancy it, give that a go. And we will be back next week with the Arnold Palmer Invitational. I'll see you again soon. Cheers.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved. With all the stats and the tips and so much more, 'cause it's the golf betting system, the golf betting system, it's the golf.